Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Tes. We will quickly begin again from Daf Kuf Ches on the base. Vashto starts the Atzma Tanaihi. In the previous shiur, we learned the concept of Chaticha Nasas, the Veilah. When a drop of milk falls onto a piece of meat, we learned that that piece of meat becomes an Veilah. And as we discussed also in the previous shiur, an important part of understanding that halacha involves knowing that even if that drop of milk were able to come out of that meat, the meat would still be asur, and the milk is still asur, because efshel asoichto, even if we could squeeze it out, it's still asur. There was another opinion that held efshel asoichto, if it could be squeezed out, it's mutter, that if we could separate that milk from the meat would revert back to being mutter. Says the Gemara that this question of efshel asoichtoi perhaps is a machloikus tanoihi, The Tanya, the Braisa says, tipas chol shenafla chaticha. If a drop of milk fell onto a piece of meat, kimon shenasa tam b'chaticha, as soon as that drop of milk gives tam to that piece of meat, that means there isn't 60 times meat versus that milk. Hachaticha atzmanas nevela, that piece of meat becomes osur. The osur is kol chatichas kulam, and all the other pieces of meat in that pot as well become osur neshemina, because they are all of the same min. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Chamayim atchatitin tam beroita bekipu bechatichas. Then we look at all the ingredients in the pot, and if we combine all of the ingredients in the pot versus that drop of milk, and we have shishim, then according to the chachamim, at least at this point, that piece of meat and of course all the other ingredients in the pot would be mutter. Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe comes to Paskin. Near and dear Rebbe Yehuda b'shloi near b'shloi kisa. I agree with Rebbe Yehuda's opinion when the pot wasn't covered or stirred. The Divrei Chachamim, and I agree with the opinion of the Chachamim, the Shinir V'Kisa, when the pot was stirred. And what exactly that means, the Gemara is about to begin. Interesting to point out, what does Kisa mean? Nir, we know, means that he stirred the pot. What does Kisa mean? What does covering the pot accomplish? So some Rishonim explain that covering the pot accomplishes that everything in the pot, the liquid in the pot, would boil and come to the top of the pot, and afterwards it'll come back to the bottom of the pot. So Nir and Kisa, according to those Rishonim, are essentially the same. But there are other Rishonim that explain that what Nir of a Kisa means is that Kisa means that the steam in the pot rises up and then comes back down. And as the Mefarshim point out, this is a very relevant Baloch Lamaisa. The Rivash already makes this point. From here we see that when something stirs up, when steam goes up, that steam is considered Asur. And that's why the Rivash, based on this Rivash, many poets can teach us that, for example, cognac, which is a liqueur, which is produced from the steam of cooking grapes. And the question is, would the issue of stam yenom apply to such a drink? Because we know that grapes, certainly if they're extracted, if grape juice is extracted, wine is extracted, we have an issue of stam yenom. And the question comes up, would the same rule apply to steam? And based on this explanation, we see that steam is treated the same way as liquid, and that's why it would be asur. But back to our Gemara. My lo niv lakisa. The Gemara tries to understand that Rebbe said that he agrees with the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda when the pot wasn't stirred or covered. What does that mean? Ilayim lo niv lakisa klav, that the drop of milk fell onto this piece of meat, which is on top of all the other pieces of meat in the pot, and it just sat there. So the question is, Nivla Bala, yes, this top piece of meat absorbed the drop of milk, but mifloy polit, everything stayed status. So why would everything else in this pot become usher? Ella, what it means is, loy near v'loy b'tchila v'loy ella b'soif. It wasn't immediately stirred, it was stirred later. V'loy kis b'tchila ella b'soif. So the question is, why am I? But why is everything in the pot usher? Habala, indeed it absorbed the drop of milk for a palat. And then it expelled that milk, and once it expelled that milk, all the other ingredients in the pot should combine to mevapel that milk. It must be because kasava, obviously Rebbe is of the opinion, and once that drop of milk fell into the meat and the drop of the milk become usur forever. And therefore, that is why, if it wasn't stirred immediately, the halach will be that it's usur. Mechlal. But if we understand that Rebbe is saying, I agree with Rabbanan in certain situations, and I agree with Rebbe Yehuda in other situations. Which means to say that Rabbanan hold that if you stir at any time, it's fine. Rebbe obviously holds that stirring is never helpful. And Rebbe is being machriya that if you stirred at the beginning, if you stirred immediately, it's fine. But if you stir later on, we have an issue. Ask the Gemara. So obviously Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion, just Rebbe doesn't pass him like Rebbe Yehuda in this regard. Mechlad Rebbe Yehuda saw it. Obviously, the Rebbe Yehuda's opinion is kineh metchil v'atzoif, v'kisa metchil v'atzoif, that he stirred the entire time. That halacha would still be that it's usur. But the question is, if he stirred immediately, amai, why would it be usur? Halay bala klal. If he stirred immediately, doesn't that create a situation that there was no bliya at all? Answers the Gemara. Ema, Rebbe Yehuda is concerned that yes, you stirred immediately. But maybe, Lainir, like Kisa, Yafa Yafa. Maybe you didn't stir it properly. And that's why, even though you stirred it immediately, Rebbe still holds that it's Asr. Rebbe Yehuda holds it's Asr. In that regard, Rebbe doesn't agree. So, at this point, what we're saying is that according to Rebbe Yehuda, and Rebbe is agreeing with Rebbe Yehuda, the halacha is that if a drop of milk fell onto that piece of meat, and that drop of milk and that piece of meat absorbed that milk, even if that drop of milk could be squeezed out, everything still remains asur. Obviously, why? Because as we're learning, efshel soichtoi is asur. Amar. Now, continues the Gemara, the opinion of the Chachamim, Mishaniya v'kisa. When he did stir or cover the pot, Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim. Ask the Gemara, my nira, my kisa. What does that mean? Ilema, loy nira, b'tchila, that he only covered the pot at the end, only stirred at the end, but not immediately. B'nkis b'saif, loy kisa b'tchila, only at the end. How can we say that Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim then? We already have said, Nira Divrei Chacham Divrei Rebbe Yehuda Beha. We just said that the Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim in such a situation. And as the Rishonim point out, that there's no way that we would be able to say that that's Pshat and the Chachamim. Because what would that mean? What that would mean is that Rebbe doesn't agree with the Chachamim. But the Chachamim himself would even be more lenient, and the Chachamim would be makel even if you didn't do any stirring. But that is an impossible situation. How could we have a Havamina that the Rabbanan would be makel when no stirring took place? If no stirring took place, everybody agrees that it's obviously status quo, and the piece of milk that absorbed the meat is also, and everything else is mutter. says the Gemara, Ella near betchil betzayif, the kisim betchil betzayif. It means that the stirring took place the entire time, and that's where the Rebbe agrees with Rabbanan. That means the Rabbanan are makel whether the stirring took place at the beginning or whether the stirring took place at the end. Rebbe is saying, I agree with the Rabbanan if the stirring took place at the beginning. And in fact, we're trying to point out, why does the Gemara have to add the word Vatsayf? I agree with Rabbanan when the stirring took place at the beginning, but I do not agree when it took place at the end. Ela, near Metchil Vatsayf, the Kisa Metchil Vatsayf. The Rebbe holds that if the stirring took place immediately, I will agree with the Chachamim, and I will agree with Rebbe Yehuda if the stirring took place only at the end. But obviously, Rebbe is saying I agree with the Chachamim only in one situation, but the Rabbanan are even more lenient than Rebbe. And what is obviously the opinion of the Rabbanan? Mechla the Rabbanan Savri, it is obvious that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that even if near b'soif like near b'tchila, and even if kisa b'soif like kisa b'tchila, mutter, why? Didn't it absorb the tam of the milk? It must be because it is their opinion that the halach is efshel sechtoi is mutter, and therefore, even though it absorbed the tam of the milk, once it separated out, it becomes mutter when we stir it, and the milk comes out and becomes bottled with all the ingredients in the pack. So, according to this explanation, the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is actually the machloikis that we've been discussing. Do we say Efshel Soichtoi Mutter or Efshel Soichtoi is Asa? Says the Gemara, Amar of Achmed Diftel Ravina, who says that that is the basis of the machlokes? Everybody will agree that efshel soichtoi is asur. The hacha b'minkum efshel. And as Rashi explains, according to Rav Acha, the machlokes between the Rabbanan will agree with Rabbi Yehuda that if a drop of milk falls onto a piece of meat, even if it's stirred immediately, that piece of meat becomes asur. Why does that piece of meat become asur? Because everybody is going to be agreed that we are concerned that piece of meat wasn't properly stirred, that it should not have become asur. That's one point. Number two, the machlokes will be about if this piece of meat that is now asur, even according to the Chachamim, becomes mixed with all the other pieces of meat in the pot, can that become mutter or not? And what is the machlokes? The machlokes is b'efshel sachta pligi. The machlokes is if we say efshel. Machlokes is min b'minoy. Machlokes do we say min b'minoy? And as the Achroinim, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and as the Achroinim help us understand what Rashi says. The Achroinim say that the way to understand Rashi here is that why do we have to say this, that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda's concern that the meat wasn't properly mixed. Explain the Achroinim in Rashi. Because if we're saying that the machloikis is efshel soichtoi or not, as the Gemara attempted to say previously, and actually that's going to be the maskan of the Gemara as well, so then we could understand that efshel soichtoi and the concern, the stirring, are we concerned if the stirring was done right or not, travel together. However, now that we're saying that the machloikis is a totally different subject, the subject of min v'minoy, so it's difficult, say the Achroinim, to understand that this brisa represents two separate machloikesim. One machloikes about the effectiveness of stirring, and another machloikes about Mimbaminoi. And that's why Rashi say that Achroinim had to learn that the Rabbanon agree with Rabbi Yehuda that we're not concerned, that we are concerned about the first piece of meat, and the Machlokes is limited. What will happen when that piece of meat is mixed with all the other pieces of meat? Because Rabbi Yehuda will be l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda will follow his opinion. Dama mimbaminoi lebatul. Rabbanon l'tamei, Rabbanon will follow their opinion. Dama mina b'minin batul. Says the Gemara, that can't be the explanation. So the Gemara is saying, the Gemara wanted to say, that this machloikis that we've been discussing about Efshel Soichtoi is a machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the Gemara now is suggesting that the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim has nothing to do with Efshel Soichtoi. Ask the Gemara, Hai Mai, how can we say such an explanation? If we will say that this price has nothing to do with the old question of Min B'minoi, here everybody is agreeing that Min B'minoi is not Bottle like Rabbi Yehuda, and in time Machlok is Efshel Soich the Pligi, Hanin the Kamer Rebbe, then we could understand what Rebbe said, Nirin the Rabbi Yehuda Baha, Nirin Becham Baha. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in one situation, and I agree with the Chachamim in a different situation. That means, I agree with the Chachamim when he stirred the pot immediately, because then I say that the milk gets mixed up in the entire pot. And I don't agree, and I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in another situation, that what if the piece of meat did absorb the milk, that the entire pot is asur. Why? Because Efshel Soichtoi, in that subject, in that issue, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Eli Amit, Efshel Soichtoi de Verakal asur. Everybody's going to agree that Efshel Soichtoi is asur. V'hocha, and the, as we just said, the machlokes is by Min B'minoi. If that's the case, so the Rabbanan are obviously going to be holding that the piece of meat, as we said, that the milk fell into is asur, because we are concerned that piece of milk, that it wasn't stirred properly. And the Rabbanan therefore will agree that even if you stir the pot immediately, that first piece of meat will always remain asur. Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda that if he did not stir the pot at the beginning, then the halacha is that everything is asur. But obviously, Rebbe is going to be saying that if you stir the pot right away at the beginning, then even the first piece of meat will be mutter. But if that's what Rebbe's saying, then his wording doesn't make any sense. Because he's saying, I'm agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda in one level, and I'm agreeing with the Chachamim in another level. But the truth of the matter is that he isn't agreeing with anyone. Because the way we just explained, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the first piece of meat is asur. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim will agree that the first piece of meat is asur. Whereas Rebbe is saying that the first piece of meat is mutter. Well, so again, says the Gemara, Eli Amit, Efshel Soichtoi de Verakal Asur, V'och v'min b'minoi, k'ma f'kid ha-machlok, says regarding b'min b'minoi, hain nirin de Yehuda v'ein nirin b'vayilei. He should have said, I agree with Yehuda when he didn't stir immediately, and then everything is asur. The first piece of meat, because it became asur, because it absorbed the kalaf. The rest of the piece of meat in the pot are asur, because Min B'minoi is not bottle. And I don't agree with him if you stir the meat pot immediately, because then I hold that drop of milk gets dispersed amongst the whole pot. But that's not what Rebbe said. Rebbe said, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda sometimes, and I agree with the Chachamim sometimes. It must be, therefore, that the Machlokes is over Efshel Soichtoi. The Chacham hold Efshel Soichtoi is mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Efshel Soichtoi is not mutter, and therefore, if you stir the pot immediately, Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim, because there was never time for that piece of meat to become asur. If you didn't stir the pot immediately, Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Efshel Soichtoi is asur, and everything in the pot remains asur. Sula midai, and the Gemara says there's no further discussion, and it's obvious that the Machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachamim is the question if Efshel Soichtoi is mutter or asur. Just to point out, Rashi says here three halacha lemaisis. One Rashi says that we paskin chaticha nasas nevela. Furthermore, Rashi says we paskin here that efshel soichta is asur. And Rashi also speaks about a case of isur dovet. Isur dovet means that let's say chaylev was attached to a piece of meat, and then that entire piece was cooked with the chaylev on it. So we have to be concerned that the chaylev put flavor into the meat attached to it, and if the meat isn't 60 times the size of the chaylev, then the entire piece of meat becomes nevela, and therefore, if we're going to want, and if that piece of meat falls into another pot, we're going to have shishim against the piece of meat. Our next Mishnah begins to discuss other issues, and that is the Mishnah focuses on two organs of the animal that have very unique characteristics. One is the chal. The chal is the udder. The udder of the animal, obviously when you shech the animal, you may find milk left in that chal. And it's clear that that milk can never be milk for which there's an issa deraisa bas b'cholof. Because the Torah says, lo savashel gedi b'chaylev imoy, it's only talking about milk that was milk from a cow. The milk that was found in a cow, which is chalav shchuta, and certainly the chalav of the chal, which is even less than chalav shchuta because it's found still in the udder, is mutter. But the Mishnah discusses what should be done when it comes to eating the chal, if you're allowed to, when it comes to eating the chal, what should be done in order to get the milk out of the chal. So says the Mishnah, chal, kairei, it should be cut open, or might say chalboy, to remove the milk. However, says the Mishnah, imloy karoi, if one didn't, and the Gemara is going to explain this at great length, if one did not cut it open, and a over love, he's not over. Halev, the heart, again, carries with it a unique situation, because the heart has in it blood. And as Rashi says, when we speak about the heart, there are actually two issues to discuss about the heart. One, we're cooking a heart with milk. One is the actual milk, the actual blood that's in the heart. And the other is the tam of that blood that goes into the heart meat when you cook the heart with the blood. So Rashi explains. Regarding the actual blood that's in the heart, so Rashi says we're talking here about the heart of a bird that has very little blood in it, has less than the shear, and therefore there is no punishment because it's chatzi shear. Regarding the meat that was cooked together with that blood, Rashi explains that the meat of the heart is very smooth, and because it's very smooth, it's not by leya the dam. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos takes a very different approach. Tosfos says that the blood that's in the heart is not a problem when it was cooked, because Tosfos says dam shebishloi, blood that's cooked is not asur. Rashi doesn't agree with Tosfos, because Rashi explained that Achronim holds that the only time there's a heter of dam shebishloi is only when it's only by the karmachatas pnimius, where the Torah specifically says that that blood that's cooked is mutter. In all other cases, Rashi holds that dam shebishloi is actually asur, and that's why Rashi can't agree with Tosfos. So according to Tosfos, the actual blood that's gathered here is not the concern. What is the concern according to Tosfos? The concern is the meat, which absorb, when you cook the heart together with the blood in it, the meat of the heart absorb blood. So halev, again says the Mishnah, kairi mitzis damai, you should cut it open and take out the blood, like karoi and oilev. If you didn't cut it open, you're not oilev. Says the Gemara, back to the chal, says the Gemara, Amrav Zeir Amrav, and Oivalov, if one did not cut open the chal, he didn't do any aveira midaraisa, and it's even mutter midrabon. According to Rav is teaching us that this becomes entirely mutter. And of course the Rishonim try to understand Rav's opinion. You cook the chal with the milk in it. How did it become mutter? So Rashi explains, and we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi explains it. Rashi explains that we are referring here to a situation that he roasted the chal. And we know, because as we know, when it comes to extracting blood from an organ, or milk from an organ, it's the same. Roasting always completely extracts. That's why the halacha is when we tash your liver to take out the blood, since the liver is considered a piece of blood, as we'll see later in our shiur today, actually. The halacha is that you have to roast the liver. So what Rav is saying, that if one roasted the chal, the halacha is that all of the milk comes out and nothing gets absorbed in the chal, and that's why Rav is saying that it's completely mutter. And as Tosfos says, according to Rashi, we're going to have the following halacha. If you actually didn't roast the chal, but you cooked the chal, and there wasn't in the water 60 times more than chal, then we have to be concerned about the meat of the chal. Because the milk, while you were cooking, went into the chal, and the milk, that becomes bas v'chalas. If there was 60 times more water, more liquid than the milk, than the chal, then we say that it's mutter, because the milk goes into the water and it becomes bottle. If there was other meat in the pot besides the chal, we have to be concerned that the milk from the chal went into the meat, and that meat will be also. So according to Rashi, when the Gemara says here that Rav holds its mutter, it's talking about Sliya. Tosfos, I'm just going to mention Tosfos' opinion, but as I said, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi, holds that it's mutter whether it was cooked or roasted, because Tosfos holds that since this chal always had milk in it, we could be more lenient. That's Rav's opinion. But again, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav, according to Rashi, Eino Oivra Lo, if one roasted a chal, he didn't do anything wrong, and it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that? For Anan Tanan, didn't our Mishnah say, Eino Oivra Lo, which seems to say, Mevo Hu Deloi Over, that you're not over an Isser, her Sur Ikka, which seems to indicate that there is an Isser. Answers the Gemara, but then we'll do Sur Nami Likka. Really, the Mishnah means to say that there is no Isser at all. V'ayi the Boil Mishnah Sefer. But since in the Sefer we speak about the heart, then Allah is Aleph Kari Mitzis Domai, Loi Kara, if you didn't cut it open, Eva Ena Overlove, and there clearly the Allah is Hasam Mevahu Do'ava, Hayasur Ika. So because we wanted to say similar wording in the Reisha and in the Sefer, Tani Nami Reisha Ena Overlove. But actually, the halacha would be the same in the Reisha and in the Sefer. Ask the Rishonim that why couldn't the Gemara have given a simpler answer according to Rashi's explanation? According to Rashi, Rav is only being lenient when you roasted the tchal, not when you cooked the tchal. So why don't we say that our Mishnah is referring to a case where you cooked the tchal, and when you cooked the tchal, Rashi agrees. Rav agrees that it's awesome. So, I saw two turuts. One turut is that if that was what our Mishnah meant to do, to differentiate between cooking and roasting, then the Mishnah should have made such an explicit differentiation. The fact that our Mishnah doesn't make any such differentiation seems to indicate that there is that the Mishnah is not referring to such a situation. That's one teretz I saw. Another teretz that I saw is the Rav is going back to what we learned in the Mishnah. Rav's words refer back to what we learned in the Mishnah. So therefore, to say that the Mishnah and Rav are talking about different situations is not something that the Gemara wants to suggest. Lema Masayli. So the Gemara attempts to say a raya to this. Because the Braisa says, Hachal, Kairi Maitzis Chalvoi. By the Chal, you cut it open and take out the milk. Loi Kairi, Eina Oivalov. So it says here clear, Eina Oivalov. Halev, Kairi Maitzis Damai, Loi Kairi, Kairi Lacha Vishulai. If you didn't cut it open, you should cut it open after you're cooking, and it's mutter. So what do we see here? Lev, it's only the heart who the boy kriya. Aval, the chal, even if you didn't cut it open, it's like boy kriya. Now, why does kriya help by the lev after the bishop? So the Mefarshim explained. It goes back to the Machlokes Rishonim that we mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rashi, the lev, the meat of the heart, is not beleya. And since the meat of the heart is not beleya, you could therefore do kriya, tear open the heart after the bishul, and take out all the blood, and you'll be fine. According to Tosfos, however, we said that the meat of the heart is beleya. So, why does the Gemara say here, why does the Braisa say here, that after you already cooked the heart with the blood, you can now open it up and take out the blood, but it's already too late according to Tosfos. It already was beleya that time. And according to Tosfos, the meat of the heart is beleya. So Tosfos is going to have to learn that this Braisa, when it says halev, that you could cut the heart open after you did bishul, it's talking about bishul that was, doesn't mean regular bishul, it means sliya. And since it was sliya that was done, therefore, as we learned, when sliya is done, it just goes right out, it doesn't go back in, and therefore, it's not cooking, and therefore, Taisha says, whatever blood is left, open up the heart and just let it drain out. So it's a very interesting situation. In Rav, that we began this piece of Gemara, Rav, Rashi explained bishul means sliya, Tosfos didn't agree. Here, Rashi says, by this braisa, the word bishul according to Rashi can mean either bishul or sliya, makes no difference, and according to Tosfos, it must mean sliya. Tosfos asks, how could this braisa be a riot to the Rav? The braisa says, by chal, eina oivar alof, which seems to say that maybe there's no Issud Daraisa, but there is an Issud Rabbanan. And the whole point of Rav's statement is that there is no Issud at all. So, answers Tosfos, that the fact the Braisa uses the same wording as the Mishnah, this Gemara holds that just like in the Mishnah we explain that the chal is completely mutter, even if it wasn't cut open. So too is the way we're going to understand the braisa. Ask the Gemara, but who says that that's the way to understand the braisa? Dilma, maybe the way to understand the braisa is the lev who the sagalei b'kriya, by the lev kriya will be effective. A chal by sagalei b'kriya, kriya won't be affected, and there the halach will be that it's completely usur, even if you did kriya. And therefore, we don't have a raya from this braisa to Rav. Bikad Amri, but there's a different version of what Rav said. Amr Zeir Amr Rav, Eina Oivalov, if somebody didn't cut open the chal, he doesn't have an issa de raisa, but also it is asa medrabon. Leila Masayli. So Gemara says now, maybe our Mishnah will be a raya to that, because our Mishnah says, Eina Oivalov, which seems to say, Mevahu Deloy Over, you're not over, Hoysur Ika. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a compelling Raya. And again, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. It's not, the way to understand the Gemara is not to say that Rav's opinion is refuted, just the Gemara wanted to bring a Raya. Says the Gemara, the Raya is not a Raya. But then, because we could say these Surah Nami like it, there really is no Issur either. There's either the Boiler Mishnah Seifa, Halef Karimaitis Domah. Because in the Sefer, there everybody agrees that you have to cut open the heart. loikara in a oivelov. There, and there the halach is, the hasam level who deloyava ha sura ik. Why? Going back to Rashi's explanation. Because Rashi explained that what is the issue, what is the kind of heart that we're speaking about in the Sefer? Rashi said that the heart we're talking about is the heart of a bird. That's a very small heart. And because it's a very small heart, you don't have enough blood that you should be over the issur of eating blood. So that falls into the category that we've come across numerous times of chatzi shir. And we know that the halacha by chatzi shir is that you don't get a punishment for chatzi shir, but chatzi shir is certainly usur. So if that's the case, it's very understandable that this Gemara is very, the Mishnah is very understandable. You don't get a punishment, but certainly it's something that you have to be concerned about. And that's why Taninami Resha and Oivarlov, but it could be that it's completely indeed Mutter. Toshma, so the Gemara tries to bring another Raya. Hachal, Kairi Moitzi Eschalboi. By the Chal, you have to cut it open and take out the milk. Loi Kairi, if you didn't do so, ain't Oivarlov. Halev, Kairi Moitzi Stamai. Loi Kairi, Kairi Lacha Bishu and Mutter. So what does this seem to say? Levu the boy kriya, avchal boy kriya, that if you didn't do it at the beginning, there's no point and you don't have to do it later either. And as the Rishonim explained, because since we're talking about tzliya, once the tzliya was done, you don't need to do any more. So that's not a raya either. Because levu the loy sagla the kriya. By the heart, kriya is not enough. Avchal, but by the ka, perhaps, by the heart, you have the option of doing kriya, says the Gemara. Avchal, by the ka, the sagla of kriya, kriya is not an option, and it remains always us. Says the Gemara, however, Tanya Kalishna Kam the Rav, chal shnit bishta b'chalboy, if a chal was cooked in its milk, it's mutter. Keva, you check the animal. And you find in the animal, in its stomach, milk. That milk is real milk. Because what happened? The animal obviously sucked milk, and it went into its stomach, and that milk wasn't digested before that animal was slaughtered. So that's real milk. And therefore, kevish bishlo b'chalba, it's not chal of shkuta, is awesome. Ma hefesh b'zelze, because what is the difference between the milk in the chal and the milk in the stomach? Zeh konis b'meyof. The milk in the stomach is real milk. Vezeh ain't konis b'meyof. It's just milk that didn't come from the outside, so that's why it's not osur. Ketzev kari. Exactly how does one tear the udder? Certainly the chatchila, everybody agrees that's what should be done. Arav Yudah, kari shesi ve'erif. It should be cut in the length and the width. V'toich v'koisel. And then it should be pressed against the wall to squeeze out the milk. Amle Reb Lezer, the Shamek Karale, he told him just tear it open. Vana Echel. Ask the Gemara Ali, Maika Mashma, what was Reb Lezer saying that we didn't learn in the Mishnah? Isn't that Masnissan he? Answers the Gemara, Kamashma, he was teaching us to like the Inan Shasid Erev Atach Bekaisel, that we didn't need all of that. All we need is a simple tear, and it's enough. However, Rashi says that when is a simple tear adequate? A simple tear is only adequate when we're talking about when we're roasting it. Because going back to what we said at the beginning of the sugya, since roasting really takes everything out, so for roasting, a simple tear is adequate. Yalta was the daughter of the Reish Galusa and the wife of Rav Nachman, and we find throughout Shas that she was a very wise woman. Amla Yaltla Rav Nachman Michti Kod Osalan Rachmana Sharalan Kavasei. Everything that the Torah said is Osir, we find in another place that the Torah said it's Mutter. Why did the Torah go out of the way to do this? There's so two different explanations in the Achronim. One explanation I saw in the Achronim is that there's a famous medrash that the medrash says Ayoyma Odom. A person shouldn't say Efshi B'chasa Chazir. I don't want to eat Basa Chazir. Because it's repulsive to me. Ella, what a person is supposed to say, Efshi, I want to eat it. Ella, I don't eat it because Hashem told me not to eat it. And therefore, how can we know that that is a person's sincere feeling? The way knowing it is, we give him a chance to have the taste of something non-kosher, and he can actually perhaps say, you know, it's a very delicious taste. And yet, I'm not going to eat something I'm not allowed to eat because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that I'm not allowed to eat it. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw from the Sam Sofer, interesting approach, is as follows. He says that what was troubling Yaakov, that, and particularly as we're learning Perek Kolavoser, when we're learning about Bas B'cholav, and we're going to learn about the different Gzeiris Chazal, about different where Bas B'cholav is Osir. So what was troubling Yaakov was Chazal make all these Gzeiris, but the result of these Gzeiris are that a person may say, this is just, there are too many Gzeiris here. So in order to avoid that problem, Yalta, the Gemara points out, said that there are times where things are mutter. And since there are times where things are mutter, we could easier accept the Gzeiris Chazal. So, says the Gemara, again, Amalei Yalta Rav Nachman. Call them Oslan Rachmana, Charlotte will say. Everything that Torah said is Osir. Everything that's Osir, there's a place that's Mutter. Oslan Dam. The Torah says the Dam is Osir. Charlotte Kavda. The liver, which we said really is considered blood, is Mutter. How do we know that liver is indeed Mutter? Maybe it should be Osir because of Dam. So I saw two explanations. Rabbeinu Bachai says, because the Torah says when it speaks about the Issa Dam, Rak Chazak. Levilti Achel Adam. Says Rebbeinu Bechai, the word rak comes to say that not all dam is also. Which dam is mutter? The dam of liver. Other Mepharshim explain that the Pasuk says, regarding the Isser dam, al oris tishpechenu kamayim. Only blood that could be spilled out. Whereas blood of liver is a solid, isn't in the category of dam that the Torah says is also. Nida, the Torah says that a nida is also dam toyer. What does dam toyer mean? The dam of a psula, midoraisa is mutter. If a psula sees dam, she doesn't become a nida, midoraisa, the rabbanim were machmer. And we know that the Torah teaches us, and again I always emphasize this is only midoraisa, this is not the halacha b'zman hazeh, that a woman when she has a boy is tamei no matter what, sort of, if she has the natural childbirth. For the first 7 days, she's tamei no matter what. And then for the next 33 days, she's tohor, even if she still sees dam. And if she has a girl, for the first 14 days, she's always tamei. And for the next 33 days, for the next 66 days, she's tohor, even if she's seeing dam. Chela behema. The Torah says we're not allowed to eat the chelav of behema, but we know we're allowed to eat the chelav of chaya. Chazer, the Torah says we're not allowed to eat chazer, but moichah the shibuta. The head of the shibuta fish tastes like chazer, and it's mutter. Gerusa, we're not allowed to have gerusa, but lishna the kavra, the tongue of this fish, tastes like the gerusa. Eishesish, we're not allowed to have, obviously, in relations with an Eshesish. Grusha b'chayi bala. When a husband divorces his wife, even though the first husband's still alive, that wife can get remarried. So she's somewhat like an Eshesish. Eshesach, we're not allowed to live with a brother's wife, but in the situation of Yibam, obviously we are. Kutis, we're not allowed to live with a non-Jewish woman, but there's a passion of the Torah, we fast Torah. Bina, l'meichel b'sa b'chalva. So she said, I want to have b'sa b'chalva, because, again, to have the contrast. Amalei Rav Nachman l'tabochei. So Rav Nachman told his chefs, Zviku l'tachli, take the chal and roast them, and that's how you'll have bas b'chol, because there's milk in the chal. Ask the Gemara, for nan t'nan koyrot, haven't we learned that you have to cut it open and drain out the milk? And so the Gemara, hahu l'kteira. That's if you're going to cooking. If you're roasting it, you don't have to cut it open. Ask the Gemara, V'tani, but hasn't the Braisa said Shabishlay, the Eved in, that if it was only the Eved, you could roast it without cutting it open. L'chatchila loy, you should cut it open l'chatchila. Answers the Gemara, who had in the fil l'chatchila? This version holds that even l'chatchila you could eat a roasted chal without tearing it. That's why I had the boil of Mishnei Seifa. When the Seifa said by the Keva, Shabishla b'chal b'asura. And there we said because the Keva milk is very different than the chal milk. The fil the Eved namiloy. The dead halach is that even by the Eved, you're not allowed to have it if it was roasted, even if it was roasted. That's why Tani Nami Reisha Shabishla. The truth is, he held that the chal that's roasted need not be even cut open. The Ksav Seifa says that we know that Chazal say Ein Hamokim Chabedes Adam El Adam Chabedes Hamokim. Pashut Pshat is that the place is not what gives the honor. It's the person that gives honor to the place. But he says based on Al Gemara. From here we see in Al Gemara that Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't too tough on the people. Ain't a mokum chabes adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make Yiddishkeit too difficult. It's the person who shouldn't make it hard for Hashem to be nice to us. Furthermore, the Chidah, based on this Gemara, says that since in our Gemara we see that the taste of all these various things are mutter, even though that these things are mutter under all these dvarim asurim are mutter under certain taste situations. So he says that therefore in the Midbar, which we know the man that we ate in the Midbar, we could taste anything we wanted to taste in the man. Says the Chidah, let's say somebody was eating man and he wanted it to taste like chazer, even though we know chazer of course is a non-kosher animal. The halacha says the Chidah, it probably would be okay. Because the Agamar clearly is indicating that the taste of something usur is not automatically a problem. Which leads to an interesting question that I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, that let's say we have food that nowadays we could, with kosher ingredients, make it taste like a non-kosher food, non-kosher sea fish, or bacon, or chazer, is a mutter or also. But Rav Yashar takes more of a strict opinion, and I saw many paiskim are makel, and the reason they're makel is based on our Gemara, because our Gemara says that we see that the Torah went out of its way to find places that even the things that are considered the most usur are mutter under certain circumstances.